Hello and welcome to The Corridor here on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario and podcasting on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm Dinah Jansen. This news program features news from Kingston and area provided by local and regional journalists through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Welcome and enjoy. Hello and welcome. I'm Dinah Jansen. Our top story today is by CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative reporter Christina Laurie on new fundraising efforts by Murnie Tower for its centennial celebrations next year.
The Murnie Tower Museum is preparing to celebrate 100 years as a landmark in Kingston next year, kicking off fundraising efforts with a concert on site this weekend. An iconic landmark in the city, Murnie Tower is a stone defensive tower located on the west shore of Kingston Harbor. The tower is part of a larger naval defense system built in 1846. It is renowned as one of the most sophisticated Martello towers built in British North America. The site has been a museum since 1925, and on Saturday, September 10th, they will be hosting Toronto-based singer-songwriter Julie Arsenault for a concert to celebrate their centennial celebrations in 2025. I sat down with Emma McGregor Mitchell, a member of the Murnie Tower Museum team, to learn more about this weekend's event and their fundraising efforts. Would you like to introduce yourself and your role with Murnie Tower?
Yeah. So hello, my name is Emma, and I am currently a museum assistant at Murnie Tower Museum. I've been here for the summer as one of their summer placement students. I mostly do marketing and communications at the museum, as well as kind of front desk admin type stuff.
Awesome. And I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about these upcoming centennial celebrations for Murnie Tower and your very first fundraising event that you're holding this weekend.
Absolutely. So 2025 is going to mark 100 years of Murnie Tower being a landmark in Kingston. And we're currently fundraising to have a bunch of free events and opportunities and celebrations for the community. So our centennial project includes things such as an illustrated children's book. We're planning to have storytelling workshops, illustration workshops for children, as well as we're actually planning a big art exhibition in collaboration with Modern Fuel Art Center called Echoes of Time, Reimagining Murnie Tower, that we're hoping to kind of fundraise to pay for as well, that will encourage local artists to kind of reflect on the Murnie Tower and its history in Kingston. And then our main event that's kind of coming up to fundraise for this is actually a really interesting concert. The Murnie Tower Museum will be collaborating with a boutique record label from Barcelona to host a fundraising concert, which will bring Toronto-based singer and songwriter Julie Arsenault to Murnie Tower to actually perform a show. And that'll be on September 7th.
Very cool. And I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about that artist pick there and how it fits for Murnie Tower.
Absolutely. So actually, her record label reached out to us, and This will be her debut in Canada. Her record label is from Barcelona, and she's done a lot of her music kind of based there, even though she's originally Toronto based. So she's going to be performing here in her first Canadian show for the first time. And we just thought that she really fit the space. She's more of an indie artist, and she prefers to do kind of personal shows with all attendees. So she's going to be performing on our gun platform for about a 45-minute performance during the night.
Awesome. And from what I gathered there's a lot of very arts-focused fundraising happening. I was wondering if you could get into where the inspiration for all these events kind of came from and the inspiration for the concert kind of came from.
Absolutely. I think Murnie Tower Museum has always been Kingston's small local museum. We're actually the oldest one in Kingston. And so a lot of our focus is to really bring the community to come interact with history. But we also want to, you know, go outside that and expand to more interesting and inclusive activities. So art is one of the ways you can kind of connect with a lot of people, but still do some really interesting storytelling that intersects with, you know, history and all that.
Yeah, for sure. And again, that is coming up this weekend. How can folks learn more and attend the concert?
Absolutely. So we have tickets available on our website, murnietower.com. If you just check it out, it'll be the top thing there. An intimate show with Julie Arsenault is the title. And then the tickets are available also at Zephy. And if you just want to come in day of, they are $25. You can just come in and hopefully our staff will be able to process a payment for you.
Once again, that was Emma McGregor Mitchell with the Murnie Tower Museum on their first fundraising event for their celebration of 100 years as a museum in 2025. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
And thank you to Christina Laurie for that report. Coming up next, we have a story by Owen Fullerton, local journalism initiative reporter for YGK News, on the closure of Blue Martini in downtown Kingston. After 10 years operating in Kingston's downtown, Blue Martini announced last Wednesday that the business would be closing in 1 week after September 10th. Chris and Pam Fountas have owned the building and business for over 10 years, and in a Facebook post, they said they've been in the local hospitality scene for 50 years and decided the time was right to make a sale. Chris Fountas says they're going to now lease the property to Chuck's Roadhouse Bar and Grill, a chain restaurant with over 80 locations throughout Canada, and that he thinks would be a good fit for the downtown core, and that we'll be able to provide a stable business to the location. Fountas said that the time was just right to get out of the bar and restaurant business, and while he hoped someone would take over Blue Martini itself, that option did not materialize. I've been in the industry for 55 years, he said. I've been in this location for 41, and I think it was time for me to spend some time for myself, Fountas said. I didn't have any successors. My children weren't interested. I'd had a lot of fun, but let's face it, things have changed out there, right? It's not like it used to be, he added. Fountas said in his time operating Blue Martini, it's the customers he'll remember the most fondly. The Fountas family has been a big supporter of live music in the community through the Blue Martini, and Chris says that he really wanted to find a way to ensure that the venue could continue to host live music events. On Wednesday's post from Blue Martini, a number of fans and members of Kingston's live music community lamented the loss of a great venue and one that allowed for bigger shows than most of Kingston's bar venues. However, while Chuck's Roadhouse is not traditionally a live music bar, Obsidian Group Inc. marketing director Corey Denier said the company understands how important a role Blue Martini has played in Kingston's music scene. While it will ultimately be up to the franchisee, there is potential for the space to continue to play a role in Kingston's music scene. While Chuck's Roadhouse Bar and Grill is traditionally focused on delivering an exceptional bar and restaurant experience, we absolutely understand the unique role that Blue Martini has played as a music venue in Kingston, Denier wrote in an email. Live music can certainly continue at this location, but it will ultimately be at the discretion of our franchisee. If live performances align with their operational vision and work within the restaurant structure, it's something that could definitely be considered moving forward. Our focus is always on creating a vibrant and enjoyable atmosphere, so we remain open to opportunities that enhance that experience, he added. Denier also said that Kingston's growing economy and commitment to family-style restaurants were selling points as a potential location for Chuck's Roadhouse, and while there's no conceptualized opening date at this time, he promised it would be relatively soon. Blue Martini's last day of operations was Tuesday, September 10th, after which Fountas has said that he expects the bar to be gutted and redesigned for Chuck's Roadhouse to move in. The Fountas family still owns the building and will operate as the landlord for Chuck's Roadhouse. And thank you to Owen Fullerton for that story. Up next, we have Local Journalism Initiative reporter Keith Dempsey's report on the continued closure of the Water Street Bridge in Gananoque. Last Monday, Gananoque Council directed the town's manager of public works, David Armstrong, to work with the consulting engineers to develop a design and costing for the repairs. An investigation into the bridge was conducted after the rains of August 8th through 10th. During the last intense rainfall in Gananoque, Water Street at the east end of the bridge was overflowing and the storm sewer wasn't taking the water. Last week, Council heard that the roadbed and supporting concrete walls will not safely support traffic, and based on the recommendation of the town's consulting engineers, the bridge must remain closed to vehicular and pedestrian traffic at this time. It is important to note that the bridge itself is not compromised and continues to be structurally sound, said Mayor John Beddoes. During the meeting, Council instructed Armstrong to be ready to update Council on this issue during open sessions going forward. On a related subject, the town has contracted for maintenance work on the west side of the Water Street Bridge, which is supposed to happen later in the fall after the tourist season. However, with the current closure of the bridge, Armstrong has brought that work forward and it will be done in early fall. This work is not related to the closure, but rather in planned maintenance. We understand the importance of the Water Street Bridge crossing of the Gananoque River, not only to residents, but to the businesses for whom access to the waterfront and walkability of our town is a key attraction to their guests, said Beddoes. As the town moves forward with the process of planning and tendering for a permanent repair, staff will be looking for options to enable an affordable temporary crossing that doesn't compromise public safety, Beddoes noted. Council is interested in finding an affordable temporary solution that will at least enable pedestrian and bicycle traffic until heavy construction starts during the repair, added Beddoes. And thanks to Keith Dempsey for that report. Coming up now, we have a report by Ted Evans of CJAI Amherst Island Radio on a new online engagement platform for residents in Loyalist Township.
Hi, I'm Ted Evans, local journalism initiative reporter and news director at CJAI Amherst Island Radio, 101.3 FM in Stella, Ontario. Coming up are some of the top news stories from Loyalist Township. You can hear Amherst Island Radio's news program, North Shore News, on 101.3 Amherst Island Radio or online at cjai.ca. For showtimes throughout the week, check the schedule on our website at cjai.ca. Loyalist Township has launched a new online engagement platform for members of the public. The Engage Loyalist platform features a number of initiatives that the township has opened up for public input. Along with each initiative, users can find background information, current statistics, a project timeline, and see who among township staff will be hearing their input. Councillor Paul Proderick explains the idea behind Engage Loyalist and notes some of the current initiatives on the platform.
Engage Loyalist is just one of the many methods that we are trying to use to communicate with the local population. They can learn about the projects ongoing, give feedback on some of the initiatives that happen in the township. With the local media and the loss of the newsprint, we have to be proactive versus reactive in some of our planning and to give maybe people an idea of what's on the site right now. You've got the Waste Management Master Plan that people can comment on, the Ward Boundary Review, which will be hopefully in place for the next election, Babcock Mill, the Reading Garden, Main Street Bath, the reconstruction, the changes in public transit that just happened in the last week or so. And one that I would encourage people to comment on is the 2025 budget process as we move through it. A lot of times people maybe have questions, but usually it's after the fact, well after it's established. I'm still getting questions about some spending, and that's 6 months, 8 months later. So get involved and engage loyalists. It's just one of the many ways we try to engage with the local population.
The platform asks users to sign up in order to have their say and stay up to date. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans.
And thank you to Ted Evans of CJAI-FM for that story. Coming up next, we have a story by Philip Blancher, Local Journalism Initiative reporter for the Morrisburg Leader, on new changes in Ontario classrooms. Back to school means new restrictions are in place for students when it comes to cell phones and smoking. Announced last spring, the provincial government is restricting cell phone use by students during school hours. This includes access to certain websites and applications on school and internet networks like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. This is an extension of the previous restrictions on mobile devices in schools made 3 years ago with little effect. With their constant stream of notifications and pings, it's no surprise to anyone that cell phones constantly grab our attention, said the minister of Education Jill Dunlop. This is why it was necessary to restrict cell phones in the classroom and to enable students to restore focus on learning so they can achieve better academic outcomes. During school times, phones, personal devices, smartwatches, and other electronic devices must be put away and in either silent mode or turned off. Devices may be used if a teacher has given explicit permission to do so. Accommodations for assisted learning technology are allowed. The province has also placed a further ban on vaping and smoking in and around schools. The products are not allowed in or around the schools, and students are not allowed to possess the products while at school. If a student is found with vaping, smoking, or cannabis products, the school is allowed to confiscate the items and notify parents or guardians. Medical cannabis is allowed to be in a student's possession. Schools are to use a progressive discipline approach when dealing with inappropriate student actions. To help with enforcing the new rules, the provincial government is spending $47.5 million, including $15 million for directly supporting students who are at risk of addiction or substance use. A further $30 million is being used for vape detectors in schools. By banning vaping in schools, our government is setting students up for success and prioritizing their health and well-being inside and outside of the classroom, said Deputy Premier and Minister of Health Sylvia Jones. The province-wide measures took effect September 1st. Students returned to class on September 4th. In addition to the new restrictions, there are also new graduation requirements. Grade 9 students beginning this year must earn a grade 9 or 10 technological education credit, for example, shop classes, in order to graduate in 4 years. Two new courses in grades 9 and 10 will focus on entrepreneurship, and grade 10 civics and careers courses for one half credit each are being expanded to include mandatory learning on mental health, specifically on how to recognize the signs of being overwhelmed and how to seek help locally if and when needed. And thanks to Philip Blancher for that report. Coming up now, we have a report by Jeff Gard, Local Journalism Initiative reporter for CFWN in Cobourg, on slower housing sales in Northumberland County.
Statistics from the Central Lakes Association of Realtors reported a 46% increase for housing sales in Northumberland County in July year over year, with 111 transactions in July of this year compared to 76 during the same month in 2023. It was the second largest increase by percentage during that time frame, behind just Peterborough Region, which had a 54% boost. CLAR President Vicki Sweeney says the average price decreased by 2.7% from $754,547 to $734,111 during that time period, but the increase in sales was a positive.
Throughout the Central Lakes Association of Realtors area, generally our numbers have been down, the number of sales. For whatever reason, Northumberland has seen a slight uptick, but it probably has to do with the number of listings that we have. Currently, there's 648 active listings. 261 of those are new listings. So
there was a decrease in sales this year month to month from June, which had 154, to the 111 in July, but Sweeney said that's not a surprise.
Historically, the summer market is a lot slower. We're heading into the fall. We're hopeful that we'll see another Bank of Canada reduce their interest rates. The end of June, beginning of July, people are more concerned about kids' holidays and kids coming out of school. Yeah, we're hopeful for the fall if they do another decrease of the interest rates, and that there's got to be some kind of pent-up energy for buyers.
The Central Lakes Realtors Association includes Northumberland, Peterborough, Kawartha Lakes, Durham, and Hastings regions, as well as Prince Edward County. Reporting for CFWN, Northumberland, 89.7 FM, and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Jeff Gard.
And thank you to Jeff Gard for that story. Coming up now, we have the CFRC concert and events calendar for the Kingston region. On Thursday, September 12th, you can check out a big show by punk legends DOA, accompanied by local greats The Meringues and Owl Farm at the Broom Factory. The fun starts at 7:30 and admission is $25. Also on September 12th, you can catch local artist Sadie McFadden of Hinterwood at the Cove Inn for free from 5 to 8 p.m. On September 12th, you can also catch Mianda Kiera and the Oddfellows Orchestra playing jazz, blues, and calypso with a modern cabaret noir twist at Hotel Wolf Island for free. And also check out Rev Zed, Mason FM, and the Clay Pigeons for only $5 at the Mansion on September 12th from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. On Friday, September 13th, you could go see Oak Ridge Avenue accompanied by the New Hires at the Broom Factory for $20, or check out Black Mass Coven featuring Astral Witch, Vaced, and Stunseed at the Mansion starting at 7 p.m. and stick around for Motorcycle Sidecar, Heavy Head, Rust Pump, and Carnelian. Admission is $15. Frank Ryan will also play a set for free at Tear to Dog on September 13th starting at 9 p.m. and CFRC's own John McClurg takes the stage for a free acoustic set from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Toucan. On Saturday, September 14th, you can go see Strike Tyson at the Broom Factory for $20, AKPP Concerts Show starting at 7:30. Also on September 14th, the Bobsleg Boating Accident Benefit event will take place at McKinnon Brothers Brewing in Bath starting at 4 p.m. Admission is $25. Christopher Jackson will also play a free show at Spearhead Brewery from 2 to 5 p.m., while Bon Evans will play at Tiernanog for free that evening starting at 9 p.m. And on Sunday, September 15th, you can enjoy a show by Katie Tupper with local act Luella at the Broom Factory for $20. The show starts at 2:30. Also on Sunday, you can catch a free matinee performance by Pagoda Starling at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 3 p.m. Later on that evening, Cootie Catcher and the Crime Family will also play a free show starting at 8:30 at Hotel Wolf Island. And the Cork Sniffers will also play free country, roots, folk, and bluegrass music at the Memorial Center Farmers Market starting at noon. And folks can also take the stage themselves on Sunday night from 10:30 onward at the Toucan's free weekly karaoke night with Jeremy Green. And that wraps it up for concerts. Now over to community events for this week. On Thursday, September 12th, Kingston Community Health Centers will host a senior social group for folks ages 55 plus from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Also on Thursday, head over with your runners to Runner's Choice for the weekly Out in Front running group for 2S LGBTQ plus runners ready to run at 6:15 p.m. for 5 to 6 kilometers, followed by a post-run social. On Friday, September 13th, the YMCA will host its fresh food pop-up market featuring healthy food options that won't break the bank. And on the 13th, Skelet Park Arts Festival will host a mystery movie screening at McBurney Park, a free family-friendly event starting at 7 p.m. At 8 p.m. at the Mansion, you can also enjoy the Cringe Night drag show hosted by Bewitched and featuring the talents of Simone Says, Josephine J, Morgan Morbid, Universe, and Annihilation. Tickets are $10 online and $15 at the door. On Saturday, September 14th, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Saturday, Daughter's General Store will host a vegan brunch takeover featuring Toronto's Sausage Party and Ottawa's Little Joe Berries from 11 to 1:30. At 3 p.m. on Saturday, the Tet Centre will host a beginner's workshop on Madhubani Indian folk art. The admission is $25. Also on Saturday, St. Luke's Church will host a Scottish Country Dance in Cayley, a free event starting at 7 p.m. And on Sunday, September 15th, get up early and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 a.m. And finally, the Memorial Centre Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Have a concert or event in the Kingston area that you would like us to cover on our website and news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. The Kingston Music Office and CFRC 101.9 FM are pleased to present this week's Release Radar featuring local singer-songwriter Chris Giguere with their first single called Something New. Released last month, the track blends a little bit of blues, a little bit of rock and roll, marking a stylistic shift for Chris. With gritty guitar and soulful horns, this ode to a lifelong love affair will have you hooked from the first listen. You can also catch Chris Giguere live on stage on September 15th from 1 to 4 p.m. at McKinnon Brothers Brewing, and on September 20th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Musiki. Don't forget to follow Chris at Chris Giggs Music, the Kingston Music Office at visitkingston.music, and CFRC at CFRC Music on Instagram. Now, here's Something New by Chris Giguere.
There's something I've never done before. It's something I've been meaning to try. I've been yearning for something more. I can't get started and I don't know why. Well, there's something I've been meaning to say. I'd say it with flowers if it was 1858. I know that's not the date. I'm waiting for the perfect time. The Eiffel Tower has been on my mind. You make me feel brave, I can't explain it. I wanna do something new with you. You save me from myself and I need it. I wanna do something new. Something I've been hoping for, but I'm afraid of my own desire. I keep my eye on it from afar. Close the window and open that door. You make me feel brave, I can't explain it. I wanna do something new with you. together longer than we were apart. It's hard to see where you begin and where I start. Oh, like mine, but not much alike. Moving side by side, not always eye to eye. You make me feel brave, I can't explain it. I wanna do something new with you. You save me from myself and I need it. I wanna do something new.
And now it's time for the CFRC Environment Canada Weather Report. On Thursday night, we'll have clear skies with fog patches developing overnight with a low of 12. On Friday, September 13th, sunny skies with fog patches dissipating in the morning and a high of 27. Friday night, cloudy periods with a low of 14. On Saturday, we'll have a mix of sun and cloud with a high of 26 and cloudy periods that evening with a low of 14 overnight. Sunday, we'll have a mix of sun and cloud with a high of 26. And on Sunday night, cloudy periods and a low of 14. Now it's time for the CFRC Weekly Traffic Report. Motorists are advised that pavement rehabilitations will continue to take place along Highway 401 overnight between Westbrook Road to beyond Highway 15 overpass and on the Sir John A. MacDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Public Services and Procurement Canada continues to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. For local road closures, Albert Street from Princess to 486 Albert will be closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity and staging. Edwin Street from Collins Bay to Waverly will be closed until September 18th for the removal and reinstatement of asphalt. Hillcrest Avenue from Kings Court to 7th is closed until August 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. Kings Court Avenue from Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick is closed until November 15th to accommodate a water main replacement. King Street from Place d'Armes to the north end of King is closed until September 30th for construction of new storm and road beds, and the road will be open to local traffic. Sydenham Street from Princess to Queen is closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. Union Street from Victoria to Albert is currently closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. University Avenue from Union to Earl is closed for construction related to activity at the Queen's John Deutsch University Center. And Wellington Street from Earl to Gore is closed until September 10th for new water service installation. For other delays, Aberdeen Street from Johnson to Earl, folks can expect delays and closures along Aberdeen for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive from Princess to Taylor Kidd can expect delays while a contractor begins phase two of the Bay Ridge Drive Active Transportation Upgrades Project. Collins Bay Road from Prince Charles and Edwin to Princess, folks can expect delays while a contractor completes phase two of the Princess and Collins Bay Active Transportation Improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. And Highway 2 from Abidon to St. Lawrence, expect delays there to complete enhanced flood protection of Abidon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. And continued notice of a parking disruption at the Hanson Memorial parking structure, where its restoration project is now currently underway. Motorists are advised that there is parking availability at the Chan Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west of the Hanson Memorial parking structure. Thank you for tuning into The Corridor here on CFRC 101.9 FM and podcasting on Spotify and Apple Music through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, situated on the traditional territories of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of Smith Engineering.